The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. I want to talk to us this morning about the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 8. Now, the book of Acts has often been called the book of conversions. We can go to the gospel and read about how man is supposed to come to God and be saved from his sins and have the promise of eternal life. And then we can read through the book of Acts and we can see people, many people, who got saved. And we can learn from the book of Acts how they got saved. And then we can emulate that and know that we too will be saved. Now there are many things that we can learn about the Ethiopian eunuch this morning. And I want us to go to Acts chapter 8 and learn some of those things. Take your Bibles and turn them to Acts chapter 8. And we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now the Spirit had spoken to Philip and sent Philip down to where this eunuch was traveling along the road. And the eunuch was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And he didn't really understand what he read. And Philip asked him if he understood. And he said, "How can I unless some man guide me?" And so the eunuch invited Philip up into the chariot. And Philip opened his mouth, Acts 8:35, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. Now there are three things that I want to write on our hearts this morning regarding the Ethiopian eunuch. Number one, I want you to see how he received the gospel. Now, God has a specific way that He wants the gospel to get into the hearts of men. And that's through the preaching of the gospel. Now, God is God. He could have chosen to speak audibly from heaven and in one speech tell the entire world what He wanted them to do in order to be saved. But this is not the method He chose. The Spirit didn't go directly to the eunuch and tell him what he needed to do. Instead, He spoke to Philip and sent him to the eunuch with the gospel. We're told that he preached Jesus to him. God's method is not to send the Spirit directly and miraculously into the heart of the sinner and then convict him of his sin and save him. God's method is for man to hear the gospel from man. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is why Jesus sent His disciples into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 verse 15. This is why the gospel is said to be God's power unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Because it's necessary for men to hear the gospel. That's the way they are to receive it. By having it taught and preached to them. Now there's a second thing I want us to learn about the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 8. Not only in how he received the gospel, but notice also how he responded to the gospel. Now when Philip approached the eunuch, he was reading from Isaiah. We learned that in Acts 8:32 and 33. And Philip began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Verse 35, that's all it simply says. It says he preached Jesus to him. Now when they came upon some water, the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Verse 36. Now there's a couple of things this tells us. In the first place, it tells us that the eunuch responded to the gospel in the way that we hope everyone will. That is by expressing a desire to submit to the gospel and obey the gospel before it's too late eternally. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, The Apostle Paul said, "Behold, now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." My friends, tomorrow is only a word in a fool's calendar. It's certainly not a promise. James talks about how our life is merely a breath. It comes and it goes. No one knows when their life is going to be snuffed out. There are very healthy young people in this life who die every day, thinking that they were going to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old. There are people who are healthy or apparently healthy who die every night, not knowing that when they went to sleep that night, it would be the last time forever that they would close their eyes. Well, my friend, you have no idea when your death would come. And you also have no idea when the Lord is going to return. The Lord taught us in Matthew chapter 24 that not even the angels in heaven know the time when the Lord is going to come. And when the Lord comes, it's all over. There's no more chance. There's no more opportunity to obey the gospel. Today is the day. Now is the time. There's so many people out there who listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, and they reject and reject and reject. And their hearts get harder and harder and harder. And they have no way of knowing whether this will be the last time that they ever have the opportunity to obey the gospel. The second thing we learn here is that the eunuch got the idea of being baptized simply by having Jesus preach to him. Now, we're simply told that Philip preached Jesus to him. And somehow the eunuch got the idea that he needed to be baptized. Listen, according to the Bible, if you really preach Jesus to somebody, you're going to teach them the necessity of baptism. Baptism must be included in that teaching. Now in Acts 22 verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now there's only one thing that washes away our sins, and that's as the old song says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that He has washed us from our sins in His own blood. And Ephesians 1 7 tells us we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Only the blood of Christ can wash away our sins. The question is, at what point does that blood come in contact with our sins and wash them away? That's the question we want in the Bible. Now, some people say it's faith only or it's at the point of faith, but the Bible says very clearly in James 2:24 that a man is not justified by faith only. In Hebrews 5, verse 9, we're told that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys Him. So it's not at the point of faith. One can hear the words of Jesus and believe them, but if he does not act upon them, he's like that foolish man in Matthew 7:24-27. And he is not doing the things that the Lord told him to do. It takes more than just believing. Now in Acts 22:16, Ananias approached Saul, also known as the Apostle Paul, a man who had believed for 3 days. A man who in Acts chapter 9 had the Lord appear to him and told him to go into the city. And there he would be told what you must do. Well, the Lord sent Ananias to Saul in the city. And in Acts 22:16, here's what Ananias said to Saul. He said, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So that verse connects baptism with the washing away of sins. And so we know that it's at the point of baptism that the blood of Christ connects with the sins of the sinner and washes them away. That's why Peter can say in 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism does also now save us. Baptism saves because it puts us in contact with the blood of Christ that then washes away our sins. The eunuch confessed his faith in the Lord and Philip baptized him. Verse 37 and 38 of Acts chapter 8. They both went down into the water. Now, by the way, that would be a useless thing to do if sprinkling or pouring is sufficient. Many religions out there are practicing something called sprinkling or pouring. Baptism comes from a Greek word that means immersion. You have to go completely under the water. The idea is that the man is dead. He's dead in his sins. What do you do with a dead man? You bury him. And so the man who is spiritually dead in his sins is baptized. He's immersed. He's buried under that water. And then he rises up to walk in the newness of life. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul reminded the church at Colossae that they had been buried with Christ in baptism. Buried with Christ. Not sprinkling, not dipped.
but buried, immersed completely under the water. That is the proper mode for true Bible baptism. It's burial. And so in thinking about the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 8, three things. We see how he received the gospel. He was acceptable of it. We see how he responded to the gospel. He obeyed the gospel. We see, thirdly, how he rejoiced in the gospel. After he was baptized, and after Philip and the eunuch came up out of the water, we are told in Acts 8:39 that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now listen, there is no greater time in life to rejoice than at the time that you become a child of God. At the time that you have all your sins washed away, Jesus promised that if we come to Him, that we would find rest for our souls. And so at baptism, our sins are washed away, and all the guilt that we've been carrying around, all the burden and the heavy load of that guilt on our shoulders, all of that's gone now. All of our sins have been forgiven. They're gone. God has completely annihilated them. And so what a reason for the Ethiopian eunuch to go on his way rejoicing. But there's more to that. He could rejoice because now he had in his heart a living hope. Not just a hope, but he had a living hope of going to heaven when he died. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." His sins were gone, and now he has a living hope of being in heaven for an eternity. And in view of this, he could do, as Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now listen, friends, I've ran into Christians before who looked like they had been sentenced to Christianity. Well, it seems that they had no joy at all. Seems like their hearts were filled with bitterness toward their fellow man. It seems like their lives were filled with boredom. It seems like they really didn't have a meaning in life or a purpose in life. Well, they've completely missed the promises and the responsibilities revealed in the gospel in relation to the child of God. A Christian should never get bored. There's always the Bible to read and study. There's always prayers that need to be prayed. There's always the sick that need to be visited. There's always the less fortunate that need to be helped out. Why, if anything, we ought to have too much to do rather than ever being bored. And the Christian should never have a time when he doesn't have deep joy and rejoicing and comfort and peace down in his heart. Now, this is written in the imperative, Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always is a command. God commands us to rejoice in the Lord. And not only does He command it, but He has given us every reason in the world to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many lessons we can learn from the Ethiopian eunuch. Lessons that we ought to learn, that we ought to write on our heart and take with us and teach to others. When we notice how he received the gospel, through gospel preaching, how he responded to the gospel. He obeyed the gospel and went on his way rejoicing. And how he rejoiced in the gospel. His sins were gone.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.